One of the themes that we as Christians hear about an awful lot is God's love for us. We sing about it, we read about it. Perhaps the most famous text in the Bible that we all know tells us that for God so what? Loved the world. And we love to hear about the love of God for us, don't we? We never tire of that message, that God so loved the world, and to explore that and to dwell upon it. But you know, there's something else that we should focus on. We should hear more about it, I believe, than we do. And I think there are some reasons why we don't, but I believe we should also hear more about our love for God. And whether or not we really do love God, and how do we love God, and all of that. Now, when we get to that subject, that's maybe not quite as welcome to our hearts, is it? But yet it's important to contemplate. It's important to think about, God, do I really love you? I think about Jesus' conversation with Peter after the resurrection. And of course, you know the story. Peter had denied Jesus not once, not twice, but three times, denied that he knew him. And Jesus had predicted that this would happen, and Peter, in his self-confidence, said, "Not me, Lord. No, not me. Never, never me." And then he had to deal with the reality of what he did. And after it was all done, and Jesus appeared to Peter there on the seashore, he asked him a question. And it's a question that must have haunted Peter, but it's also a question that I think comes to you and me. He said in John, the 21st chapter, verse 15, "When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?'" I believe God wants our love. He doesn't just want to love us. He wants our love to return to him. And he asked Peter this question three times. "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me, Peter?" And finally, Peter said, "Lord, you know. You know." So important is our love for God that when Jesus was asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" he remarked by saying, what? "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." That brings our love for God to a pretty high level, doesn't it? It really does. So important that God says this is the greatest commandment. That we're to love God with all of our heart and our soul, all of our being, and then to love our neighbor as ourself. Said these are so important that everything in Scripture hangs upon these two things. Well, if you're like me and you think about that, you eventually come to recognize, Lord, my love for you is so fickle. It is so inconsistent. It is so on again, off again. It is so tainted by what I want to get from you. It's so conditioned by my human nature. Lord, sometimes I say, Lord, I don't know. I want to love you. In a moment of very, I guess, rare honesty for a person, a medieval saint by the name of Teresa of Avila said this in her prayer, "Oh God, I don't love you. I don't even want to love you, but I want to love you." Have you ever brought yourself to that point in your life to have that kind of honesty with God? Because The beauty of it is that the love that God wants me to return to Him, praise God, is a love that He gives to me. Because Scripture says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, isn't it? Where's the source of that love? It's from Him. It can't be from me. It can't be from you. God somehow, as He reveals His love to me, kindles that love and it works its way through me, and I return that love to Him. And I think that's what God waits for. But the question still remains, how do we love God? How do we love God? Well, there's an ancient story that illustrates it a little bit. It's an ancient story about a hermit that lived way out into the woods. And he was an isolated hermit that didn't associate much with people, kept to himself. He had a little garden there and a little hut that he had built and didn't have much in the way of belongings, or didn't pay really a lot of attention to the way he kept things. One day, an officer of the kingdom rode up to his little hut as he was out there hoeing and digging in his little garden. And he said, I'm here to announce to you that the king of the realm, has chosen to come to your house to visit you. The king is coming to your house. And then he turned his stallion around and galloped off down the road into the woods. Well, the hermit, stunned silence, thought, the king coming to visit my house? Why would he do that? The more he thought about it, the more it began to dawn on him that, well, if the king is going to come to my house, as he looked around, he said, oh my goodness, look at the weeds in the garden. Look at the torn curtains hanging in the windows of my little hut. Look at the dirt and the grime that's built up on the floor. I can't have the king come to my house looking like this. And so he determined that he was going to prepare himself for the king's arrival. For he didn't know what time of the day the king was going to come. And he quickly set about busying himself. First thing he did is he went out into the garden and he was just hoeing and hoeing and pulling up weed after weed. It's funny how he hadn't been so aware of how many weeds were in that garden before this, but now they seem to appear everywhere. And as he was beginning to work up a sweat, digging away, hoeing away, he heard a sound, not too far away, but it was a sound like a whimper. And he turned around and he saw a little boy coming out of the edge of the woods into the clearing where he lived. And the boy was crying. He was sobbing. And the hermit put down his hoe and walked over to him and said, young man, young boy, what's the matter? And the boy began to give the tale about how he had been playing and had followed his dog into the woods. His dog must have caught the scent of some animal and ran off, and he tried to catch up to him. And before you knew it, the little boy was lost. And he was frightened. And he didn't know which way to go to get back home. The hermit knew the day was passing on and the king was going to come, and I've got to be ready for him, but I can't leave this little boy lost like this. I've got to do something for him. And so he took him by the hand and he asked him, do you know somewhere, can you give me any landmarks about where you might live? And the boy, rubbing the tears from his eyes, tried to remember, and I think it's that way. And so the hermit took him by the hand. They walked, tried to find a path, and pretty soon things began to be a little bit more familiar to the boy, and his face began to brighten up a little bit, and he said, yeah, I know that. I live right over there. And so the hermit finally took the boy and took him to his house, reunited him with his mom and dad, and then left. And the boy, waving goodbye with a smile on his face, "Thank you." Well, the hermit knew, oh, time's rushing here. I've got to get back. The king's going to come. And he runs back as fast as he could, starts hoeing again, did the best he could with it, decided, oh, I've got to go to the house now. Those curtains are torn, they're tattered. I've got to sweep the floor, maybe mop it, whatever I can do to prepare the house for the king. And it wasn't very long as he was beginning to set about those duties that he heard a knock on the door. And he went to the door, and there was a farmer. And the farmer said, "Sir, I hate to bother you, but my wagon broke down just over the bend here, and I've got it loaded down with produce. I've spent all year growing this. I need to take it to market. If I don't, my family could starve this winter. It's all that I have, and I've got a broken wheel." And the hermit, again thinking, "Well, what can I do? I can't leave this man without any help." And he went outside and grabbed a tool or two and went there where the wagon was, and he did his best to help that farmer prepare that wagon wheel. Of course, that took some time. But eventually, they got the wagon wheel put back on and fastened securely. And the farmer thanked him, got on his wagon, and kept going to market, to the town. Well, by this time the hermit was saying, I got to do my best. I just don't know how much I'm going to be able to get done. The king hasn't arrived yet, but he could come at any time. And he rushed back to his house and busied himself again, just picking up things as he could and sweeping and trying to repair those curtains and sweeping off his porch there, trying to think about, I need to prepare something for the king, a meal, a food. I don't have much, but I'll put together the best I have. And as the day continued to go on, it was afternoon by this time, he heard again a cry. This time it wasn't the cry of a boy, it was more of a moan, and it was a deeper moan. And he went outside, and not very far away from his doorstep, there fell a soldier of the realm, dressed in his uniform and his attire, but he was lying on the ground, clutching his chest. And he went to him and he said, "Sir, what is wrong?" And quickly realized that this was a soldier who had been wounded by an enemy. And he was bleeding and he was hurt. And what could the hermit do but make this soldier as comfortable as possible, to try to stop the bleeding, to try to apply whatever first aid that he knew, which wasn't much, but he tried the best that he could, and he cleaned the soldier up and bandaged his wound, bound him up as best as he could, and then he gave his soldier one of his only horse that he had, so he could get back to town, back to where he belonged. Well, by now, the sun was starting to sink low in the west. The hermit had accomplished maybe half of what he intended to do, maybe not even quite that much, but the day was spent. The king had not yet come. Well, exhausted from the day's activities, he sat down in his little hut, fire burning in the fireplace, and he pondered over the day's activities. He said, "Lord, I did my best to prepare for the king. I was told he was coming, and I had these interruptions, and I'm just not prepared. I don't understand." And as the sun had set and it was beginning to get dark, there was a knock on the door. He opened the door, and there was the king. There was the king, and the hermit bowed before him and said, "O king, forgive my surroundings. I had not the time to prepare for your coming." The king looked at him and said, "Hermit, I have visited you 3 times today. The hermit rubbed his eyes, thought, what? What? 3 times I've visited you today. And 3 times you were prepared to meet me. 3 times you greeted me. 3 times you loved me. I was the boy. I was the farmer. I was the soldier. And you loved me in the way that the king desires to be loved. How do we love God? How do we love him? It's not just in our words. It's also in our deeds. It's how we love one another. For that's how we show our love for God.